Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go, man.
Good Tuesday morning, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome to this four-hour sports shuttle mission. Once again, it is Andrew and friends. If it's Bogus, EJ, Pete, and a Schwartz, does it make a noise? We'll find out. Coming to you live from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border in all the usual places. CBS Sports Radio on the Odyssey app, on the CBS Sports app, and on SiriusXM channel 158. From Baltimore to Rocky Top, Savannah to Portland, Maine, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we're on the air on a Trash Tuesday. Happy Trash Tuesday to you and yours on this fine late July morning. D.A.'s vacation continues. But there is some D.A. on the PGP, a 35-ish minute recap of Friday's Sean finale between myself and D.A. There is no side B this week because of that lengthy conversation. I've heard rumors that for a while there wasn't even a side A yesterday. That has been rectified, and the PGP lives in all the usual places, as does any part of yesterday's show that you missed. We will try, as always, to be better today than we were yesterday, with a lot to do on this Trash Tuesday. Of course, there is plenty of NFL conversation to have with some teams in camp, other teams reporting to camp. The Cowboys have a pseudo holdout in Zach Martin. We're told that Josh Jacobs is no longer in Vegas as the Raiders get going. We, of course, have Chris Jones as well, a story that has kind of flung under the radar just a little bit. A holdout in Kansas City, somewhat to the surprise of Andy Reid over the weekend, but some financial homework for the Chiefs to do before they begin their Super Bowl defense later this year. I mentioned yesterday we're going to kind of dive around the NFL, finding teams who are really in make-or-break seasons for varying reasons. Yesterday we touched on the Dolphins. Pete was angry at the Jets. I'm assuming that will come up again today. In our focus, though, in this particular regard today, are those Los Angeles Superchargers. New offensive coordinator, same confusing head coach, same stud quarterback, but same question marks at wide receiver and other places as well. So we'll break down the Chargers here in late June or late July for you coming up in hour number three. There's also the Packers showing some Jordan Love patience, but wondering why they still need patience is a fair question on their young QB. And we've even got Tom Brady dating. I was going to say rumors, but we basically have video confirmation that Tom Brady has taken a lover. And it isn't a name you might know. It is a name that a lot of people are going to know. It's a name apparently that's been connected to Tom for the last month or so. And as official can be, sitting in a Rolls Royce, petting each other across the face. That's what they were doing over the weekend. So we're excited to talk about that. Jared Dubin, CBS Sports, covers the NFL for them. He will join us in hour number four. And of course, the usual staples, Trash Tuesday, comes up in hour number two. Get those trashes coming in now at CBS Sports Radio, at Andrew Bogus, at Pete the body and at EJ underscore Stewart, I believe. And if you need to, at Schwartz Sports, Schwartz on Sports. I had to mute Pete for a while. That changed, but now I can't remember his tag anymore.
Has it for me.
So you can't help me on, is there an on
Schwartz
in there or not?
On Sports.
The hashtag is Schwartz on Sports. It's just Schwartz Sports is the handle.
Okay.
He throws the on in there as the hashtag when he tweets his gems, but the name is just Schwartz Sports. He's here today.
Got it.
After a dynamic performance from Manuel Barbari yesterday with Caserta. And is there a CeeLo still to come?
A CeeLo, I believe, is a Friday.
To close the week. So CeeLo in advance thanks Greg, Pete, and Emmanuel for opening for him. He's the closer on Friday as we finish off this week. Filling in all of these random spots on the show with DA on vacation and our good friend now officially working locally. And boy, did they deliver yesterday, arguably in the worst possible way, in the most embarrassing way. Hashtag show pony was in full effect on day one of the new gig. It was my intention to do as little Sean content as possible, to let the goodbye breathe, all the good vibes, all the positive emotion from last week went out on a high note, everybody feeling great about each other, saying only nice things. We're trying, Pete. We are going to try. I know we had to delicately remove voices and names from certain production and whatnot. But other than that, I wanted to let Sean run off into the horizon, enjoy the new gig, and we'll pick up from there at some point down the road. And then yesterday happened, and they forced our hand. And we have no other choice but to break down the debut in New York sports radio of one Sean Morash.
Oh.
They thought Mraz was dead, but Mraz alive and well yesterday in New York, outside the studio, inside the studio, live on TV, live on the radio, social media as well.
Rinse and repeat.
Pete's burner accounts fired up yesterday to leave angry comments on WFAN posts about Sean and the new show.
Rinse and repeat.
It was some kind of day for the show pony. So it's right now listed as one segment. That might not be enough to go through everything that happened yesterday. I recently retweeted, quote tweeted the video in particular that's in question today if you haven't seen it. And I don't know if you want to laugh, if you want to feel bad, if you want to start a GoFundMe page for Sean, you can go watch the video. We will begin to digest all of that to close out hour number two this morning. We begin, though, in the NFL. Another one of those teams sitting there on the fence. Are they great? Are they good? Are they going to have another tough season with injuries? What about their quarterback? And what about their wide receiver? Odell Beckham Jr. is a Baltimore Raven, and in a very lengthy conversation with The Athletic, revealed a number of things about his ACL recovery and his future on the football field as well. OBJ is your cold open.
Savard, low throw, and that's incomplete, and Beckham goes down a little slow in getting up, so Beckham will need some attention as the medical staff comes out to check him out.
Oh, boy.
With an exclamation point for the Rams.
At the end of the day, everything looked good on paper, but you got to go out and do the work. So we have training camp coming up where we'll just have the opportunity to continue to get better. And hopefully we're expecting a lot of points. It's a lot of fun. I'm excited about this team. We have a crazy team, crazy receiving room. There's a bunch of guys.
Lamar winding up, going deep for Bateman. He's got him! Touchdown! Third touchdown today for Lamar Jackson, and that was a strike from deep.
Man, I want to throw for like 6,000 yards with the weapons we have. Like, you know, and I'm not individual award type of guy or stat watcher, you know. I just want to do that, you know, because no one ever done it, and I feel like we have the weapons to do it. You know, we got explosive guys. And like Coach said, Nelson, you know, the new addition, Zay, OBJ, and we got Bateman going to be 100% healthy, dude. We're going to be healthy, you know. So it's going to be, can't forget about Mark. I can't forget about my boy Mark. And, you know, likely, so it's just can't wait to get rolling.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That last voice you heard is Ravens QB Lamar Jackson. His contract dilemma solved, signed, sealed, delivered. That's all done. Ravens doubled, tripled down on their commitment to him, drafting Zay Flowers and signing Odell Beckham Jr., Al Michaels, Andrew Catalan, OBJ himself, courtesy of Fox 5, all in your cold open montage there. It is somewhat of a make or break season personally, I think, for Lamar Jackson, because he got paid and he got help at that receiver position led by OBJ. And all the excuses are off the table now for Lamar Jackson because he's got his money and he's got his supporting cast. Beckham, in this long interview and a great interview at The Athletic, talked about from the moment that he tore his ACL again in the Super Bowl as a Ram two Super Bowls ago, literally on the turf, in tears, knowing exactly what injury he had just suffered and immediately wondering if he'll ever play again, talking us through the very dark times, I mean, literally and figuratively, sleeping for days at a time in a dark room post-surgery, having those same thoughts about whether he's going to play again, whether he wants to play again, building back up after deciding he does want to try it, working towards possibly playing last year, interest from multiple teams, realizing he was too quick to come back, so he doesn't play at all last year, restarts this offseason, the flirtations with some of the same teams, some new teams, admitting that the Ravens were not necessarily his first choice. But he's in Baltimore, 1 year, $15 million deal. He signed before Lamar re-signed, which was easy to assume that he knew Lamar was going to resign at some point because there's no way he'd sign up in Baltimore not knowing who the quarterback is. But now he's there, appears to be in great spirits, but in this same piece says he's approaching this year as if it's going to be his last and they'll figure things out after this year. But all his focus, all the chips are on the table for 2023, and he wants good things for him, obviously. He wants to reestablish himself as an elite wide receiver in this game. And then you've got Lamar Jackson and the Ravens really as a team trying to reestablish themselves in the AFC North, in the AFC. So many injuries to Lamar Jackson, to the offensive line, to the entire defense. They have not been at full strength in recent memory, more so than I think most teams in the NFL. They've got a very good coach, we all know, in John Harbaugh, and they are trying to, again, redominate, retake control of the AFC North. Unfortunately for them, the Bengals are really good, and maybe the Steelers are on the rise well, and the Browns are sitting there with Deshaun Watson and other pieces that seem to create a good football team as well. The North is super competitive, so there's nothing easy about doing any of these things for the Ravens. But in OBJ, you know, they took a gamble that makes a lot of sense. They needed a frontline wide receiver. To their own fault, they have swung and missed on veterans and rookies at that position, which is part of the frustration with Lamar, and it might have been part of the problem with Lamar, too, because there are always whispers that guys didn't necessarily want to play with Lamar because they weren't sure just how good of a pure quarterback Lamar Jackson was. But now they've got Lamar there, and they've got OBJ there. And yes, he's coming off two ACL injuries and multiple surgeries and a lot of time missed. It was 25 games over the previous 5 years before the ACL, and he didn't play at all last year. So tack on 17 more and no postseason. So there is no telling exactly what he's going to be. But he was pretty damn good after a lot of drama, some self-created, some not. Landed him in L.A., and the Rams only speak glowingly about Odell Beckham Jr. Sean McVay loves him. Teammates love him. Multiple guys have said they don't get to the Super Bowl that year if he doesn't play the way he did down the stretch for them. So, assuming he can go back to being peak OBJ is a waste of time. But assuming he can go back to being the best wide receiver they've had in a long time, I think is, you know, in the neighborhood of a safe assumption, partly because of what he's working against. It's slim pickings competition-wise for all the guys they have cycled through those positions to try and find the right combination to make the offense live up to and equal the Baltimore defense. OBJ is the next gamble, but it's a gamble I would have taken if I was them, because they needed to do it. And maybe they paid more than their people, but if OBJ goes out there and solidifies Lamar Jackson and makes plays to take this offense to a different level, then that money at $15 million is well spent. And then they can figure out after that whether OBJ is worth a multi-year commitment and all that good stuff, but that's a good problem to have if they live in a world where they need to make a decision on exactly how much to pay OBJ next year. But they've got a guy on board who offers the potential of a game-changing wide receiver. One of the final pieces to their puzzle, they assume. And kind of like, you know, different reasons, obviously. But we mentioned briefly this little kind of Kirk Cousins renaissance thanks to this Netflix documentary where Kirk's a little more likable than some of us would have given him credit for. When you read this Athletic article and you go back through other things written about and coverage of OBJ, his teammates almost always love him. Now, he was a knucklehead at times. There are things that he did that were legitimately bad. Some things were annoying and rub folks the wrong way, and probably people had too much of a negative reaction to them. But it seems like, to a man, teammates are on board with Odell Beckham Jr. He knows how to exist inside a locker room. He's not a negative when it comes to culture and that kind of stuff. And that's what the Ravens throw in their locker room with a lot of money behind it, hoping he can make the final difference for this team if they can stay healthy to be as good as they used to be atop the AFC North. So with that, we're off and rolling on this Tuesday morning. It's Andrew Bogish in for a vacationing DA all this week. You get a busy football morning. Chris Jones's holdout, a look at the Chargers, Jordan Love, Tom Brady having some fun this weekend in L.A. We'll do some college football as well next hour. We know Caleb Williams at USC. At UNC, there's Drake May. There's also a QB named Joe Milton at Tennessee, Michigan transfer. He's the number one guy at Rocky Top now with Hendon Hooker on the Lions roster. And Jordan Rodgers thinks that Joe Milton might be the best quarterback in America, which is saying a lot. We'll do that in hour number two. There's some non-football news as well. And, of course, it's a Trash Tuesday. There's already a couple coming in. Keep them going at CBS Sports Radio, at Andrew Bogish. When we come back, though, it's time for Soundcheck, your best audio of the day. And it includes the namesake pulling a Jody McDonald over the weekend. That's all coming up next on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
And Soundcheck today is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. So here we go in Soundcheck. We begin at a football camp in New Orleans. Cam Newton is there. Some teenagers there as well. And those teenagers felt okay to take some shots at Cam. Their interaction right now.
Yes. No, you
yes.
met me.
Yes.
I met you. Grant, tell me about it. Train show me a picture.
Train again.
Show me a picture.
I got an order.
Oh,
how many rings you got?
Nine.
Hey, I got a question.
Zero. Nine.
We got the same amount of those.
And no, but we don't got the same bank account.
Oh!
What the hell?
Oh, we.
famous for the action like that.
No, no, no. Don't play the victim now.
So that video was shared on TikTok by Kyle Santangelo. I'm assuming he's one of the teenagers' sidelines who goes after Cam. And if you're not understanding all of that, one of them says, we have the same number of rings to Cam. And his response is, sure, but I've got a better bank account. And then he does this mocking dance where he's kind of grabbing his Bo Jackson in disrespect towards these young men. And then they go back and forth and it's over. I can't think of a pro athlete that people feel more free to mock to his face than Cam. Cam's a big dude. Whether or not you liked his football career, did not end well. Again, you know, for the people who like to point out what Cam was wearing, he looked like, almost had like Popeye's sailor outfit on. He had like a weird shirt and a kerchief around his neck. I don't know if that's part of the equation because he kind of at times looks doofy, so people think that they can be doofy to him. But again, this is a bunch of teenagers at a football camp, and they're just chirping a 6'5", 250-something NFL quarterback. Not that Cam is dangerous, but I don't pick fights even half fun, half jokingly, with guys who are double my size. Cam could have destroyed all of them if he wanted to. Plus, he played in the NFL, is an NFL MVP, was in a Super Bowl, and these punk kids have no problem taking shots at him, and this is not the first time this has happened.
It's not the first time, and I think the problem is these kids are really just parroting what they see on television, which was alive during Cam's career, people clowning on him, even though he was a superstar, a former MVP, a guy that took his team to the Super Bowl, like you mentioned. But if kids see on TV, oh, he didn't win the Super Bowl, oh, he's not a real superstar, oh, he's a fake MVP. Well, if you see that all the time, what are kids going to do? They're going to parrot that same behavior, and they're just going to do it more sophomorically, more obnoxiously. So this is what you get.
Is there any reason to tell Cam to stop doing this? Does he need to stop responding?
No, he should keep clowning them.
Yeah?
No, that's how kids need to be humbled these days. Like, you got kids that think they're all that, that think they're going to go and be NFL superstars. Like, sometimes they need to be humbled. And I have no problem with Cam Newton saying, you know what? Tell me how my blank takes. That's Jack Ramsey, he said.
Let's move on to slam ball. This is a thing. I guess it was a thing like 2 decades ago. It's back now. If you haven't seen it, it's half basketball, half football. The court is made of trampolines, and I mean, it is bonkers. And there was nearly a big brawl on ESPN Plus over the weekend.
They've got bad blood. Now both coaches are coming on the floor, and they're getting into it. This is slam ball. Let's go.
This is what we came to see.
Let them fight, ref.
Let them go.
Yeah!
Oh. Don't let him fight. I'm just playing.
Okay. So I believe that's a game between the Ozone and the Wrath from over the weekend.
Two historic teams.
Right. And all bets are off when they square off, especially the league, I believe, returned this as opening weekend. So there's extra emotions. We're reviving a historical matchup between the Ozone and the Wrath. There's a hard foul. Of course, coaches are going to talk to each other. They get basically face-to-face. The most hilarious part about this for me is that because they're doing this on trampolines, there's no leverage. Guys are bouncing. Guys are falling. There's bad footing. They're tripping over each other. That's not the terrain for fighting. There is no fight in the end, just kind of talking, a little pushing and shoving, no actual fist. And then we get to the announcers. I don't know who those guys are. They're on ESPN Plus. They're probably like me, begging for any play-by-play work. And then you get offered slam ball, and you've got to sit there and go, this is slam ball.
This is slam ball. Let's go.
Let's go. This is what we came to see.
That's not a trick I have in my toolbox. I could not. Thank God. I do want to work. I'd love to be inside the ESPN play-by-play family. There's so much football and basketball and baseball and soccer to do there. But if slam ball is the entry point, I think it's time to change careers.
Oh, man, I don't know. That seems like a fun thing to do, slam ball of all sports.
I can't. I don't think I could have sat there and gone, let's go.
Well, he was just begging for headlines, too. I mean, they just start fighting, and then he says this is slam ball.
Yeah,
this is slam ball.
I mean, come on. Like, give it a little breather. Let it breathe.
This is slam ball. Let's go. Let's go!
This is what we came to see.
And as you can tell, that's the play-by-play guy. It's one thing if the Bill Walton of Slam Ball is yelling, this is Slam Ball, and he did give us a let us fight, and then he said, never mind, don't let them fight. But it's the play-by-play guy, the straight guy, theoretically, supposed to be even-keeled, maybe the journalist of the two, and that's the dude yelling, let's go.
And I'm about 75% sure that the guy saying, I'm just kidding, don't let them fight, was definitely got an ESPN person in their ear saying,
immediately,
hey, we cannot be promoting guys fighting on our network. Please take that back.
But does Slam Ball have fights? Is it hockey? Is that indoor lacrosse?
Like, I thought Slam Ball was more about dunking and, yeah, like, you know, confrontations at the rim.
Right.
I don't compute Slam Ball with coaches bouncing awkwardly on trampolines.
The bouncing part's amazing.
Trying to swing haymakers. Now, I do think they could have created a new sport because that was very interesting. Maybe if you got real athletes who actually could fight on trampolines, that could be really fun.
Now, is there anybody that was has any NBA ties associated with this league?
Yeah, that's a good question, Pete. A better host might have looked into the rosters of the Ozone and or Wrath, but that's right. Not me. I got their names and I gave up. But let's go back to EJ's point. I think he's got something here. Now, I'm not a big MMA guy, but if you've got guys trampolining into finger, you know, like some kind of leg lock or something, now I'm paying attention.
Think about it. I mean, we watch all these Avenger movies. We watch karate movies. These guys are all on lines. They're all on lines. They're all flying, jumping and crazy. Imagine if you can create that in a sports arena with trampolines. I feel like this is the start of something, and I hope Slam Ball realizes that they can maybe make this an offshoot of Slam Ball and say, hey, Slam Ball fights.
Yeah, I mean, every
ESPN Ocho.
Every other, like, major move in Mortal Kombat involves you jumping off the ground and doing something midair.
I mean, you could do a legit Ryu from Street Fighter, you know, Hayuken.
Right.
Or something. You could do a legit those moves on the trampoline.
All right, so EJ just stumbled upon his $1 million idea, so he'll be out of here soon. He's the Slam Ball fight.
No, somebody's stolen it. ESPN's already got it trademarked right now.
Last but not least, more than once on this show, we have been accused of being hypocritical, inconsistent, throwing stones in glass houses. So I'll remind you of a recent breakdown of a Jody Mack phone number confusion, right? Yeah, where we literally just abandoned the number system. At some point, we realized he was not going to get the number right, so we stopped giving any phone number. We had a lot of fun with that last week. And then guess what happened? D.A. was getting some diaper money on Saturday, locally here in you-know-where, and this happens.
Or if you want to jump in on whether the Mets or Yankees should be in on Ohtani as the trade deadline comes up a little over a week away, you guys have the phone numbers. You know this well, 855-212-4. I should not say that. Nope, that's not the phone number. That's the CBS Sports Radio phone number. Jeez, so crazy. Okay, so you guys know 212. Which is great, because every time that I talk about this, I'm like, I need to make sure that we don't do this. 877-337-6666. 877-337-6666. That is classic. We will definitely run that on my show coming up on Monday.
Or Tuesday. Either way, here it is. Now, I am the guy that messed up the open to hour number 4 yesterday, so I can only point so many fingers at DA, but, I mean, if you're going to eviscerate Jody Mack for not knowing what state, what type of radio show he's on, what phone number, what day it is. And that, by the way, was the open of the show Saturday for DA. That was top of the show, opening segment, out of the gates. Here's 855-212-4C. Oopsie. My bad. Here's the actual number on the fan. And then, don't forget, that laugh at the end is a solo laugh, solo awkward laugh. The producer doesn't know what we just did with Jody Mack. The audience, for the most part, has no idea what DA is talking about. So he's on an island there by himself trying to enjoy the irony of messing up the phone number after just doing it to Jody Mack last week.
The producer over there is probably out of the studio.
I mean, do you do those schedules too or no?
Nope, I don't touch that.
So, and you know what? He's doing that from home, DA. So he's not even looking at a reassuring face. I mean, maybe if Connor Green is there, Connor knows what's going on, could give DA some visual reassurance it's going to be okay. But DA's looking at Rosie the Cat. who's not helping in that situation.
And the producer is probably having chicken and broccoli at the time.
Exactly. Barely paying attention, not answering the phone if anybody called whatever number DA gave out.
He was watching golf probably, too.
It probably was, right?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
What's up, Kettle? So there's your sound check on this Tuesday morning. We're not done, though, with show-on-show crime, because hopefully most of you checked it out. I didn't. I took a nap yesterday and blew right through my 2 p.m. alarm because I was exhausted. So I missed the official debut of our good friend Sean Morash on local radio. But he went full Mraz, even though he was told not to be Mraz. The only thing he didn't do yesterday was eat like a 12-inch sub in 13 seconds.
That's what Tuesday's for.
I mean, that's what the rest of the week is still to come, right? But basically every other Mraz trick was on display yesterday when he was told not to be Mraz anymore. So we'll do that in hour number two. Right now, though, your headlines. Here's Peter Schwartz.
Oh, Bose, we're sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs. For protection on the road and on the water, see how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Let's start with extra innings in Los Angeles.
The 1-0. And he rips the ball to right field. Down and it bounces past the sliding Hayward. Biggio scores. Chapman coming in. Whit Merrifield is near third, and he will hold up there. A two-run double for Dalton Varsho, and the Blue Jays lead 5-3 in the 11th.
Ben Wagner, Blue Jays Radio. Blue Jays beat the Dodgers 6-3 in 11 innings, and the Jays have won 11 of 16. Now to Philadelphia, where the AL East leading Orioles beat the Phillies 3-2. Outfielder Colton Cowser snapping a 2-2 tie in the top of the ninth. With an RBI double, the Orioles have won 13 of their last 16.
You know, pitching was great tonight. You know, that's a really good lineup and held them to two runs. Dean had a great outing, and those guys that came in after him. It's just really fun baseball right now in the clubhouse.
Cowser and the Orioles have opened up a 2.5 game lead over the Rays in the AL East. Now to San Diego, and quite a night for Carlos Santana.
Here it is, swinging a high fly ball right field and deep. Tatis back to the warning track. Santana's done it again. He's homered for the second time tonight. Carlos Santana, another two-run home run.
Call on Pirates Radio. The Pirates beat the Padres 8-4. And here is a home run hit by Elly De La Cruz that is still going.
De La Cruz, high fly, deep right center. Gone!
That's out of the stadium.
Went over the SUV. It cleared the stands. That ball had a family.
No more. John Sadak on Bally Sports Ohio. The Reds lose to the Brewers still 3-2. Also from baseball last night, the Cardinals beat the Diamondbacks 10-6. They had the Astros over the Rangers 10-9. Twins over the Mariners 4-3-10. The Royals beat the Guardians 5-3. Rockies 10, Nationals 6. And the Tigers over the Giants 5-1. From football, Bengals defensive end Ioma Uwazurike was suspended indefinitely for violating the league's policy on gambling. He can petition for reinstatement next July. The Raiders signed three-time Pro Bowl corner Marcus Peters, reportedly a one-year deal. And from the Women's World Cup yesterday, Italy beat Argentina 1-0. Germany over Morocco 6-0. Brazil 4-0 over Panama. And Colombia beat Korea Republic 2-0. And there you go.
Thanks, Pete. We're going to go back real quick here to that Reds-Brewers game, because the defensive player of the week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. They're members of the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. And this week, the defensive player of this week is Brewers center fielder Joey Weimer, who robbed Elly De La Cruz of a home run his first time up in this game last night. Took it away. Would have been a two-run day because the second home run was unbelievable. And I think I didn't hear the end of Pete's, the highlight that Pete played. My buddy John Sadek's got a great line when Reds hit long home runs. He goes, that ball had a family. And he did it, pulled it out again last night. That's the longest ball I've seen hit in that stadium in Milwaukee. Went almost completely out of the building, but it would have been Ellie's second home run if it was not for Weimer. And the Brewers scoreboard got burned here. I don't know if you guys saw this, but when De La Cruz came up for his second at-bat, the scoreboard, you know, the batter's picture up there, so there's Elly De La Cruz. It says 0-for-1, and underneath it said almost hit a home run his first time up, referencing it being robbed, and then he hit one about 6,000 feet. The dude's unbelievable. And the Central's gotten interesting at the very least. The records are not always tremendous. Run differential's not that beautiful, but at least the drama is there between Milwaukee and Cincinnati. So he is, again, Joey Weimer is your Navy Federal Credit Union Defensive Player of the Week. When we come back, we're talking defense in Kansas City. The Chiefs on the field of training camp without Chris Jones. That holdout's next on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. My mistake still to come on this Trash Tuesday. Bogus in for DA. EJ's here again. Pete is here again. Peter Schwartz has taken the role of Emmanuel Barbari. There is no stream today. Another day off for Cap. He definitely has days to burn, definitely deserves to burn some days, but two's enough. Cap will be back tomorrow, so you can watch Pete be angry at who knows what. Yesterday, it was the Dolphins. Today, he's angry potentially at a baseball team for not doing something before Tuesday's deadline. It's a good Pete trick. Pre-angry. Hasn't happened yet. But the anger is here. Anger first, reality second. We'll hold that for hour four.
That's right.
Get your popcorn ready. Next hour, your trashes. Some are coming in already at CBS Sports Radio, at Andrew Bogus. A couple have been about no stream. I understand that you guys, for some reason, need to see us be idiots on the radio. But there is just still the radio option. And you know what we look like by now. So in your head, create a stream. You know what Pete looks like. You know what I look like. You certainly know what Schwartz looks like. When you hear our voices, just go, oh, there they are. I'm wearing brown shorts and like a lighter brown shirt. Pete's in a black.
Tuxedo.
A tuxedo. Yes, a tuxedo. Sure. Let's just go with that.
Schwartz is wearing a Dragons jersey, too.
I actually didn't notice what Schwartz was wearing today. Is it any kind of sports?
It's like a T-shirt. I think it's like a Yankee shirt. Probably.
Okay. And is EJ wearing the coolest thing of the bunch, probably?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
EJ always looking good.
You know, when Sean is not there, and this is not a Sean comparison,
who?
But whether it's EJ or Carlos in a suit or even Boyle, that chair is immediately filled by the coolest person in the room.
Oh, yeah. It could be empty and it's filled with the coolest person in the room.
We are not much competition in that regard. I mean, I'm wearing a shirt about a fake brewery from, I think, either J. Crew or like Old Navy. And even Ryan from yesterday, when he filled in for you on the board, brings tremendous vintage like band T-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
And we got to pick up our game here, Pete. But, I mean, at least you did stay with the tuxedo. That seems like too much, but it's better than usual.
You're wearing a tuxedo to clean toilets.
So, the Kansas City Chiefs have a small problem on their hands. I don't think it's a big problem. I'm not sure it goes much longer, but they're 3 days. This is day three of training camp practices, and their stud defensive tackle, Chris Jones, is not there. Holding out, he's entering the last year of his current deal, and he wants to get paid like any smart, good football player wants to do. He apparently wants something in the neighborhood of $30 million a year from the Chiefs. Now, Quinnen Williams, same position, similar player, probably less impactful right now, but younger than Chris Jones. Either way, Quinnen Williams of the Jets just signed a four-year deal, and he got $66 million guaranteed. The benchmark of the position is Aaron Donald. His max value is $95 million. Now, Chris Jones, while he's better than Quinnen Williams, he's not Aaron Donald. So he can't get to Donald, but he should be the second highest paid defensive tackle. So he's got a top $66 million guaranteed. And that's, again, over a four-year deal for Quinnen Williams. Just nuts and bolts, while he holds out, he accrues a $50,000 fine per day. The new CBA does not allow teams to waive those fines. Now, they can kind of fold them into whatever new contract you eventually sign. So whether or not, you know, Chris Jones ever physically gives the Chiefs 50K time, however many days he holds out, doesn't really matter. He's just not there. What matters is they did it with Mahomes, they're doing it with Kelce, and now this is their third best player in Chris Jones. He is their, hands down, their best defensive player, one of the best, again, in the league. Very few guys, if any, can get to the quarterback like he does from his position as an interior defensive lineman. He is completely indispensable for them, top to bottom. I don't think there's any debate. Maybe there are some who wonder, whether he's more impactful than Kelce, I don't think so, because you can't disconnect Kelce and Mahomes, but he's the number three chief in terms of importance. So he deserves to get his money. Now, I guess the problem for him is Tyreek Hill used to be high on that Chiefs list. He wanted max value on his last contract. And what team does he play for now? The Miami Dolphins. Now, the Chiefs took that ability and they moved him to Miami, and they got four or five draft picks and have sprinkled those picks around mostly on defense to help that side of the ball. And they won the Super Bowl without Tyreek last year. So they appear to know what they're doing when it comes to this. I don't think this ends in Chris Jones not being a Kansas City Chief. It just ends with Chris Jones having a new contract and showing up, and away they go again. But the idea of the Chiefs need guys, and all teams need to do this, is to provide flexibility. This Mahomes deal that is astronomically large, that somehow all of a sudden now seems under market for Patrick, sits out there, and they just tweak that again to create some extra space to spend and trade for guys this year. And that's what they're looking for out of Chris Jones. And, you know, it's a tough spot to be in, because Jones, by all accounts, loves being a Chief. He was just at the ESPYs earlier this summer. They were the team of the year, I guess. And he had the microphone at one point on stage and talked about how much he loves being a Chief and playing for Andy Reid and Brett Veach, and thanked them all for giving him the ability to be in Kansas City and to be on that roster and to win all of these games. But then it comes down to business, and Chris Jones is never going to be in this particular position again, where he kind of has max leverage in terms of the player he is and the impact he has on them on defense, and entering the final year of, you know, an already lucrative contract. But he needs his money. And every day that passes, every season that passes, he loses just a little bit of leverage, because he's just that much older and has that much more tread on his tires. So when you can get your money, you got to go get it. But you also don't want to hamstring teams. But then also, too, I mean, guys, we've seen this across the board, whether it's huge amounts like Carson Wentz, whether it's smaller amounts. Like, the salary cap is there in the NFL, and we talk about how much cap space teams have and dead money and whatnot, but it kind of doesn't matter, because teams always figure it out. They just do, because there's 9,000 ways reconfigure that, transfer this, cut guys. Teams survive all of this. I mean, again, three teams are paying Carson Wentz to not be on their roster recently. And if you go back and make comparisons, the teams with the most cap space or the least dead money on their cap, those are not consistently the teams that win football games. Now, you can get in a place like the Rams, where all of a sudden everything just kind of drops on your head and you're screwed. But again, the trade was a Super Bowl, so they're okay still too. Like, they did what they needed to do. So, you know, the idea of it's good to be a teammate, a great teammate, and leave some money on the table and give the team some flexibility, it sounds great, but usually guys still get the money that they're supposed to get. And teams usually can figure out other ways to find money whenever they need to. There's so much creative accounting and so many loopholes and tweaks and whatever that allows them to survive any situation. I mean, every team is eating cash. It's just part of the business. And everybody knows how to create new cash and move things around and, again, just get rid of guys when they need to. So, you know, the Chiefs have this. Andy Reid was mildly disappointed on Sunday when their first practice happened and Chris Jones wasn't there. And obviously we're not there in negotiations. It sounded like Andy thought things were going to be resolved by Sunday, and they weren't. That he was just kind of frustrated in general, not specifically at Chris Jones, thinking that Chris was being unreasonable in any way or making the wrong choice to hold out. But this, to me, is not anything close to significant news yet for the Chiefs. And like every other holdout, it really doesn't matter until we get near the end of training camp if a guy is still not there, because then we get into that world of popped quads and pulled groins because guys didn't have the right kind of run-up to real action, and then they get hurt when it picks up for real in September, and that's the first time we're on the field. They'll get this figured out. Chris Jones will get paid. Everyone will probably win. The Chiefs will look like they saved some money. Jones will look like a good teammate. Well, he gets a ton of money to still be one of the best defensive players in the game. When we come back, it's college football. Does the best QB in America play at Tennessee? That's next on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.